The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the Judeans who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying, 'You will be made free'?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
If you would like, I invite you to follow along in my message today with the insert that's in your bulletin. The title of my message this morning is From Me to We, 9.5 Theses for a New Reformation. Today, as you know, is a very special day. We are celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Protestant, indeed Lutheran, Reformation. On October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. A thesis, as you may know, is an intellectual proposition intended for academic debate. Martin Luther, a professor of biblical studies and a Catholic monk, wrote 95 of them to debate with other monks on matters of church reform, including, as you know, the problem with selling indulgences. Thanks to the printing press, which Vernon in our hymn sing earlier this morning described rightly as the internet of Luther's time, and much to Martin Luther's surprise, these propositions, really in bullet point form, were quickly disseminated across Europe in a matter of weeks. The Protestant Reformation, as it were, had begun. This Sunday last year, in the spirit of Luther's reforms, I offered not 95, thanks be to God, but 9.5 theses of my own, meant to inspire discussion and even reform in this congregation. So much I felt then and still feel we need to challenge and even change when it comes not really to this conversation specifically, but to popular Christianity as a whole. But since then, something has changed. Since then, I have realized there will be no reformation of our congregation, of our denomination, or indeed of Christianity more generally, until we change our approach. As the title of this morning's message suggests, we must move from me to we. If a pastor acting alone tells his or her church that changes must be made as he or she alone sees it, then the Reformation ends with the sermon. The Reformation, in other words, needs to come from all of us. We are, after all, what Martin Luther regarded as the priesthood of all believers. And so, in that spirit, I gathered this year 9 theses from other Lutheran pastors, colleagues from across the denomination, recently published in an article out this month in the Living Lutheran called 50 Ways the Reformation Still Impacts Pastors. I added an abbreviated thesis of my own to make it 9.5. And in the end, expanding this beyond pastors, I'm going to invite you to add a thesis of your own so that together we can truly be Semper Reformata, a church that is always reforming and a church that can't reform unless we're reforming together. So, are you ready? Yes, good. Then let us begin. Thesis number 1. Every call of Christ leads to death. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I have come to learn, writes Pastor John Flack, that being a Christian means that everything we are is Christ's. We are His, and the more I live as if I'm Christ's, the freer and more faithful I become. Martin Luther referred to two deaths in his writing. The big death, which is the spiritual death, being crucified with Christ, such that it is no longer, as Paul says, I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And then, of course, next to the big death is the little death, the physical death, which Luther argued is nothing by comparison. Over the course of my first year here, our former cantor, Arletta Anderson, constantly reminded me, it's not about you, Pastor. It's not about you. And for a while, I felt a bit defensive. I thought, she must really think that I'm arrogant. But then I realized, whether it's in worship or out in the world, we Christians, as Paul says, are invited to be crucified with Christ and be reborn in life for others. In a culture that values in-your-face self-expression, one that elevates fame as among highest its priorities, how wonderful to let that go. How wonderful to let that go, and how freeing to set aside our ego to live for one another in Christ. Thesis one, every call of Christ leads to death, but after death, to new life. Thesis two, I hesitate here. I am so not in charge. As the pastor, writes Emily Weller, I am just one member of the priesthood of all believers. The people of my congregation are always ministering alongside me and teach me every day. Now I have to say, that thesis makes me nervous. And it's true, I am in charge when things go wrong. But what a deal you have. Setting that aside, together we are invited as the priesthood of all believers to live out our mission and our ministry. Not with me in charge, not with me running the show, because after all, it's not about me. It's about we. It's about us and what we can do in collaboration to fulfill our mission and our ministry. Thesis number two, I am not in charge. Thesis three, be a sinner and sin boldly. Yes, you heard it here first. Luther's frequent reminders of human sinfulness can seem like a downer, writes Pastor Weller. But in daily ministry, I see how the belief that we can be perfect and do it all leads to despair. We can't do it. Accept it. I would like you to remember those last two sentences. We can't do it. Accept it. Some of you can identify with the neurotic character trait of perfectionism, and so can I. If there was a book on it, I would have written it. I want you to hear these words. They don't mean that we shouldn't try. They don't mean that we shouldn't put our best foot forward. They do mean when we don't meet our expectations, when we can't possibly live up to our demands, to let it go and remember that we are claimed by a gracious God. Thesis three, be a sinner and sin boldly, but as Martin Luther said, trust more boldly still. Thesis four, absolute truth. The Reformation's biggest lesson for me is that God's love for humanity is the only absolute and ultimate truth that we can trust, writes Pastor Nelson Gonzalez of New York. Any other system or institution that asks for this absolute trust must be viewed as penultimate and fallible. For 11 years as a university professor, I heard student after student say, "It's all just opinions. We're never going to know." I continue to hear that occasionally from members of this congregation. These people miss, however, the fact that in spite of their cynicism, we all live by truths. Our question should be not whether we can possess absolute truths, but which truths give us life. Absolute truth, from Luther's perspective, is not a doctrine or a set of laws we are to follow. It is the simple profession that God's love for humanity is bigger than anything that we can imagine, that it is absolute and ultimate, and something in which we can place our trust. Thesis 4, absolute truth. Thesis number 5, freedom. The Reformation, writes Pastor Gonzalez, has taught me that God's last word for us is always forgiveness, life, and salvation. Luther has also taught me that we are free to think, give our opinions, debate, and struggle to what we think is God's will for the sake of creation. The Lutheran Church, as you know, was born in a university. More and more, I hear Christians downplay the life of the mind. Recently, on Christian radio, I heard an author talk about how the musings of man, i.e. books, should be read less, and how the Bible should be read more. Well, I too think we should read the Bible often. It's the same Bible, John 1:9 to be exact, that tells us that the true light which appeared in Jesus Christ enlightens all human beings. Grace frees us to question, to think, to struggle, to doubt, just as Martin Luther did. Never, ever let any other Christian or pastor tell you otherwise. And when you hear the word submit, you run in the other direction. Thesis number 5, freedom. Thesis 6, one has to look at the mouth of the people, says Martin Luther. The Reformer understood that in order to reach people with the good news of Christ's grace and salvation, you have to speak their language. And for that, you have to actually understand their situation. Beyond that, writes Pastor Kirsten Weidman, this applies to cultural shifts and means of communication today. The more I get to know you as your pastor, the better I understand you and can speak to struggles and challenges that you and I often share with the message of the gospel. So I invite you to continue to reach out to me, and I will continue to reach out to you. Let's get to know each other better. One of the things that I've noticed among many of us is how busy we are, how our lives are overly committed. How can we help each other in this ministry find rest, take breaths, recharge? One idea that has come to light recently is a group for parents, meeting once a quarter perhaps, for sharing and recharging and stopping and pausing as their children are in Sunday school. This is but one way, perhaps, that parents can be ministered to and that we can understand our situations and how the gospel might speak to them. One has to look at the mouth of the people. Thesis number 6. Thesis 7, God's omnipresence. In a letter to Swiss reformer Zwingli on the real presence of Christ in the sacrament, Luther wrote that God is as present in your cabbage soup as in the sacrament. The difference is that God is hidden in the soup and revealed in the sacrament. I love this statement, writes Pastor Stacy Sibrasa, affirming God's omnipresence in every aspect of our lives. Now, that might sound nice as doctrine. The question is whether it has the potential to impact our lives, and I believe it does. Our conviction that Christ is present in the water of holy baptism, that Christ is present in the bread and wine of Holy Communion, and that by extension, though not present for us in the same way, God in Christ is present in all things, or as the inmost reality of all things, according to Martin Luther, should invite us to face together the defining ethical issue of our time, climate change. How do we confront climate change in a world that has no use for this planet? My hope is that our theology might invite us to recognize that this home is not only ours, it's also God's. Thesis number 7, God's omnipresence. Thesis 8, What's past is prologue, William Shakespeare. I remain fascinated, writes Pastor Michael Malone, by the fact that events that unfolded 500 years ago continue as such an indelible part of our identity as Lutherans. Our past ought to tell us something of who we are in the present, even as we recognize that our past is not determinant of our future. We as a congregation not only celebrate 500 years of Reformation today, in the months to come, we will be celebrating 100 years as a congregation. We should look to our past, celebrate it, learn from it, but not at the expense of the present or the future. Ours is a church of both and in an either-or world. And when it comes to our traditions and the future, it should always be both and, mindful of the past, but freed to live into the future. As examples of this, you'll notice in today's liturgy several changes, including the final stanza of "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." You will also notice, looking back at the Apostles' Creed, an explanation concerning what it meant for those folks who wrote it, as well as perhaps for us in the 21st century. These, I hope, are examples of what it means to honor tradition and look back, but not to do so at the expense of the present and the future. Thesis number 8, what's past is prologue. Thesis number 9, the true treasure of the church is the holy gospel of the glory and grace of God. Martin Luther, thesis 62. In a time when churches are closing, synods are selling property, and people are afraid that the influence of the mainline Protestant denominations has waned to nothing, writes Pastor John Flack, I need to hear over and over that the real treasure, power, and beauty of our faith is not with a building or bank account, but with the saving message of God's love, reminiscent of our mission, for all people. This is what we're called to proclaim. This is the bedrock of our faith. Yes, money and membership are legitimate concerns, but unless we lead with our mission, we are not free from the fears of a declining church. We are not the people God has called us to be. Thesis 9, the true treasure of the church is the holy gospel of the glory and grace of God. Thesis 9.5. This will get me in trouble. We have a third sacrament. A sacrament is a place where grace happens in and through something physical or tangible. Christ, everywhere present, becomes present to us in a special way based on his word of promise. Through the bread and wine of Holy Communion, through the water of baptism, and through the congregation when it gathers in his name, according to Matthew 18, verse 20. This is my thesis. We have something very special at Queen Anne Lutheran Church. When I look out and I see each of you, I don't just see you as individuals. I see you as Christ. When I repeat, "This is my body," during the Eucharist, I point the bread to you because you are his body. This is how Christ lives in the world. When you and I gather in his name, may we welcome others out of isolation into this body of fellowship. And may we ourselves feel welcomed by one another as Christ's body in the world. Dear friends in Christ, today I invite you not simply to remember a Reformation now 500 years past. I invite you to join me in beginning a new one today, one characterized by the transition from me to we. After the service, I invite you to take a look again at these 9.5 theses offered by various pastors of the church and add to it one of your own. You are the Reformation, and we become the church Luther envisioned, the priesthood of all believers, the church of collaboration, when we as a church move forward. Semper Reformata, always reforming. Amen.